The Pulse presents The Week That Was.
Hello and welcome to the first episode of your RN News Team podcast, The Week That Was, our podcast with all the news that matters to you from the past week.
I'm David.
And I'm Claire.
And today we'll be looking back on all of the stories from the past week, from the news that matters to you, the students.
Firstly, here is a story as to whether apprenticeships are a better alternative than going to uni.
So, the recent push to quickly create lots of apprenticeship opportunities as an alternative to degrees has devalued the brand of apprenticeships. Low-level skills, such as coffee making, are being accredited as apprenticeships, clearly devaluing the qualification. Although it can be effective to put the employer in the driving seat of training, as this directly prepares individuals to work in their company, this has been taken a bit too far. Now apprenticeships in seemingly basic skills are being offered. Now there has been an increase in the number of people opting for apprenticeships, but very few are delivering professional level skills in the areas most needed. Joseph Turner did an apprenticeship in business administration, and he said that his apprenticeship had been of no use to him. He thinks apprenticeships are just an excuse to underpay workers for doing basic work. Now, the chief of Ofsted, Sir Michael Wilshaw, says he supports the government's commitment to deliver 3 million apprenticeships over the next 5 years, but he says that an apprenticeship must be a valued commodity. Now, I think apprenticeships should be a great way to earn while you learn, in order to target a specific job in the trade industry. Now, there's been some debate about whether an apprenticeship in a trade or a degree is more likely to get you a job. So, what do you guys think about all this?
It solely depends what kind of path and career you want to go, because then university is the sound, you know, let's take science for example. If you want to become a researcher, there's sadly not too many internships because it's incredibly specialist, but internships do have a lot of merit. Like, a lot of my friends do them and I'm very annoyed because they have a lot of money and they have things like cars, you know, they can rent houses and stuff while I'm here just trying to get by on, you know, a student loan. But again, they're sadly not that brilliant if you do want to get into the top end jobs, the really highly paid jobs. So
I think also whilst you're studying, you know, at university, that you can get industrial experience. For example, you can get internships. A lot of companies offer it at the end of your second year, and if they like you, then they might offer you a job at the end of your degree. And so I feel that yes, it's good to get experience, you know, leave school, go straight into the job, but I think the university experience for me I found really beneficial. And I don't think I'm quite ready for the working world. And despite the debt, I think it is all worth it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think you can't really compare an apprenticeship to a degree, because a degree and like going away to university is more of like a lifestyle. It's more to go out and like have a great time and like expand your horizons, whereas apprenticeship is just merely to get you on track towards a certain job, towards a certain trade. So I think it's difficult to compare them to, really.
Definitely. And with apprenticeships, are you paid from the initial start?
Yes, you are, yeah.
Okay, so you are earning money.
Yeah, yeah. Which... So you're earning while you're learning, which I think is like a massive bonus for a lot of people. But also, I read that people who have got degrees, they do usually end up with a higher paid job than people who've done apprenticeships. So it balances out in the end. Yeah.
It kind of does. And the other sad thing with internships is that the... not only is the pay not great, they can also get you to work in very, very antisocial hours as well. Like all the way through the weekends, really late, really early in the days. So while otherwise with your degree, you can either decide to turn up to seminars at 9 a.m. or not, and usually not, but otherwise you can get away with quite a lot. While it's very more strict, as it is a business that you are actually working for, rather than the freedom of being at university.
However, the thing is, if you do a general degree like me, like I do geography, which can pretty much lead to anything. The problem is, when I come out of uni, say if I don't know what I want to do, I'm a bit lost.
Yeah, exactly.
And a bit helpless. Mm. So that's where an apprenticeship is good, because it streamlines your career and, you know, it can actually help you to get to where you want to be.
But again, that's sort of there's a negative to that. What if you really don't like what you're doing? So you get into this internship, it seems like a good idea, it seems like a good career, then a few things overshadow it and make it look actually not that welcoming, and then you think, I can't actually get out of this because I've been doing it for 1 or 2 years and I lose a lot of time, a lot of money. I could have gone to uni and still had the opportunity a few more years to work out what I want to do with my life. So in a sense, it's quite good to have it, but it's, again, quite a huge negative as well.
Very true. And at 17, 18 years old, I still think that's quite young to decide what you actually want to do. Like, when I was deciding what degree I wanted, that was hard enough, let alone what job I'd want.
Yeah, like, I had no idea, but then equally I still have no idea now, so it kind of makes it more difficult. I think it's kind of prolonging the working, which I think probably all of us quite like doing.
Buying time.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you think, Zara?
Personally, I think that I would like to prolong getting into a serious job and industry for as long as I can. So that's why I'm quite happy with being at uni. But for others who know exactly what they want to do and know exactly what field they want to get into, what job that they want to work their way up to, then it's good for them to enter sort of that kind of path. But I think it's all is an individual thing. It's definitely an individual thing.
Yeah. And like, education isn't for everyone. So for people who can't get the grades to go to university, you know, an apprenticeship is a great opportunity to get into the workplace and, you know, get yourself out there.
The Pulse presents The Week That Was.
Next, a story on City AM blocking internet users with ad blockers. City AM has become the first UK-based publisher to ban internet traffic to its website, which uses an ad blocker. Starting today, the publisher is running a trial in which readers running Firefox browsers with ad-blocking software enabled will themselves be blocked from accessing the content. The homepage of the website will not be affected, but once readers click on an article, they will see a blurred out text along with a message explaining why the article has been blurred. The trial comes after internal research revealed that 20% of City AM's traffic was being affected by this problem, a figure that set alarm bells off around the company. Currently, 8% of its 1.2 million monthly visitors use the Firefox browser, with 20% of those using advertising blockers. The plan is to later extend it to other web browsers and potentially mobile devices further in the future. There is, however, an acceptable advert movement, which includes Reddit and the most popular ad-blocking software, which has a 5-point manifesto for determining what counts as acceptable adverts, which for now will not be blocked by default. These advertisements will not be annoying, they will not disrupt or distort the page content that is trying to be read, they will be transparent about being an advert, they will be effective without shouting at us. Again, these are points from the manifesto, so they are all in quotes. And they are appropriate to the website that they are on. Now, there's a lot of requirements to meet, actually, before those criteria are filled. But essentially, the kind of ads that we will be seeing in the future under this program will be static, so that's no animations, no sounds, those kind of things. Preferably, they'll be text only with no attention-grabbing or disturbing images, as well as they will be clearly marked as being an advert. There will be a different colour to the page, and they're not going to try and disguise themselves on that page. So, what do we think about this? Because the lack of advertising and the blocking of adverts is causing more and more websites to put themselves behind a paywall, meaning that they get revenue of some sort, because obviously advertising provides a form of revenue. So do we think that, first up, do we think that City AM's actions are fair? Do we think it's fair for websites to have the power to block people who block adverts in total?
I think it's fair because it's their website. However, I would raise the problem of if you have an ad blocker, you have an ad blocker. Not every website is like City AM. Not every website has transparent ads. They're not safe ads. They're things that you can click on that can potentially, you know, destroy your computer. So to protect ourselves, we download ad blockers, and for them to say, oh yes, but our ads, that's... they're not talking for the whole web, they're not talking for the whole internet.
Yeah, just to explain briefly, the Acceptable Ads program is a suggested program of adverts, which is currently being trialled by the AdBlock program, which is the most commonly downloaded ad blocking software, as well as companies like Reddit. And they are a trial at the moment. I don't even think they've actually started the trial as of yet. But these are the kind of things that you can still have an ad-blocking software, but they will be put through. They will still see those adverts because they are transparent, because they are not attention-grabbing, as it were. They're still, you know, designed to get people to look at them, but they're not designed to... You don't have to click to actually access the content. They will be out of the way, as it were. They won't stop you from accessing the content. They won't take up too much space, and they won't instantly divert attention if you're not looking for it.
I think that's it's definitely fair enough on City AM's behalf, because it's their content they're making. They need to make revenue, and without ads, it's very difficult to do so. And I mean, ad blocking really is most effective when you're on those pages with the irritating videos and sounds that won't stop playing, or bombarding you with images and text when you're just trying to read a simple article. So I think you know, companies need to make sure that the ads they're putting on their website aren't irritating for the user, and then like, that's fair enough.
So is it more fair, are you guys arguing that actually it's not necessarily the people providing the content that are being disadvantaged by this? People are still reading their content if they use an ad blocker. Who it's unfair to are the advertisers themselves. And if that's the case, especially some of them, which are the more spam types, your betting websites and your casino websites and other unmentionable ones on the air. Yes, yeah, I know. Those, is it? Are we saying that we're actually being fair to those companies, or are we being fair to the people who make the content, because otherwise they won't get the revenue from the advertisers? The advertisers will just pull out of contracts if they know 20% of people aren't seeing them.
I think probably on behalf of the on the website, it's more fair for them. Maybe if the advertisers didn't make so irritating adverts, people wouldn't use ad blockers.
If we look at common websites, though, like, you know, ITV Player, BBC iPlayer, they have ad blocking detection as well, and they won't let you play their content if they detect ad blockers. And it is possible, I mean, on my particular ad blocker, I can pause it on a certain web page, so I just do that. And I suppose you could do the same with City AM, so perhaps City AM have made a move to protect advertisers.
I think it's probably a better move than, for instance, is it the Times that's behind a paywall? Which you can't really access much of their content at all as such. So I think it's a better move than doing that.
But the Times was always behind a paywall, as it were. The Times is a paid-for newspaper.
What is a paywall?
A paywall is the concept that you cannot log in and see content of a website without having a login.
Oh, okay.
Essentially. So imagine if Facebook made you pay.
So you don't have to pay, you just have to log in. It's like a registration.
Yeah, and sometimes it's free, although at that point it's not behind a paywall, it's just behind a login.
Oh, okay.
But behind a paywall is a paid login.
I see.
You pay for subscription. So the Acceptable Ads campaign came about because respondents to the poll from Reddit and from this Adblock software both said that the majority of them didn't feel that it was necessary to remove every single advert from the internet. So they took it upon themselves to find a way that would balance both the advertisers and the companies getting the revenue in and, you know, getting their adverts seen, and the consumer by not being too disruptive and not being too offensive as well. So would you agree? Would you prefer to see an internet without adverts but that was paid for? Or would you prefer to see with adverts that wasn't technically paid for? I know you have to pay for broadband and such, but not paid for in the sense of the internet is free to access and you don't have to have a login to that per se.
Today, we've looked back on a number of stories, including devaluing apprenticeships and questioning the use of ad blockers.
That's all for the week that was here from this week on URN, but we'll be back next week with more of the stories which affect you, the students.
The Pulse team covers 20 stories a week with a lot of debate surrounding issues that affect you on campus. So to join our daily discussion, make sure to tune in to The Pulse every weekday between 5 and 6 p.m. on urn1350.net.
We'll be back next week with the week that was, and remember that you can follow us on Twitter at URNPulse or like us on Facebook to leave your comments on any of our topics, the ones that we'll be covering over the next week as well.
The Pulse presents The Week That Was.